Blog Talk Radio.
Anyone charged with a criminal matter has the right to have their case heard before a judge or judicial officer of the court is entitled to a fair and public hearing by a competent, independent and impartial court. Have strict court rules enforced such as the right of reply, rules of evidence, and be found innocent or guilty beyond reasonable doubt. Yet, our most vulnerable can have their rights, assets, and decision-making rights removed by a public servant of the state, not a judge, in a tribunal setting that can ignore evidence and facts and determine matters as they see fit and conclude matters based on probabilities alone. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Today is April 19th, 2024, and we are broadcasting live out of the United States of America, and we are so excited to have Diane on the show today. Diane, welcome back, and thank you so much for coming on. It's going to be a great show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're very excited.
Yes, we are. Real quick, before we get started, we want to just send our thoughts and sympathies to the family of Justice for Betty Hayes. Betty is in the hospital. She's doing stable. Everyone can go to the Facebook page Justice for Betty Hayes and stay up to date on what's going on with that family in Michigan. But we just wanted to let the family know that we're all thinking about them and really hoping for a very positive outcome in the health scare that is happening right now. And Diane, what would you like to say to the Betty Hayes family?
Well, they're the best. They have helped me so much, and my heart just goes out to them. I just can't believe all that they've gone through. So I pray that Betty does well. This is awful.
Yeah, absolutely. They are the sweetest family, fierce warrior family. Just so much love is being poured out to that family right now, and we just hope that Betty's going to be okay and that the family is okay, because when a family member is in guardianship, guardians can block families from visitation, can block families from even knowing what's going on, and we've had several examples of that happening, even in my own case, where, you know, the family has no rights to know anything. Complete strangers seem to get the right. So we just hope that there's nothing really bad like that going on with the Betty Hayes and the family. And let's just hope that she can have a good recovery. The family can get back to court and get Betty Hayes home to be with her family that she should be with. Boy, all this guardianship, the new parasitoid industry, what we're calling it now, it is crazy. It is just never going away, is it, Diane?
No, it's not. And
wow.
It gets worse. Because then they try to silence the families.
So, yeah. But, you know, let's dive right in. You were on a few weeks ago, and you were just having a lot of online bullying. And we had you come on, and I got to let you know, wow, the bullies came out in full force against me. But one thing that we did on the show is that we did say if any of them would like to message me and come on the show, that we could arrange that. And I just want to let you know that the only one that messaged me called me stupid. So that's about it. Didn't want to come on the show. And I cried like a baby because, you know, someone called me stupid that I don't even know who they are. But here I am, Diane. I've recovered. I'm okay. But nobody wanted to come on the show. And one thing that Marcel Reed noticed it was just swarming. She said, you must be onto something to have people attacking you so hard. Honestly, it's something that we don't normally see when we have guests come on the show. And I think it's because you're on to something. And now you just did some FOIA requests. And you have sent me the letter, so I have seen it. So everyone, Diana is not making this up. I saw the letters, and they're mind-blowing. So, Diane, tell us about FOIA request. This is for the state of Pennsylvania, and if you would let us know the procedure of how you did it. But you got responses back, and they are very powerful. So I'm going to let you take it away on this FOIA stuff.
Oh, they sure are. This is the best thing that anybody could have introduced me to. We have found out through the FOIA that our sheriff in Lawrence County has three different signature stamps, none of which match the online deed that he and his wife signed. So I do not believe the sheriff has a clue how his name has appeared so many times in the paper trail regarding my mom since 2016. The personitary, we discovered that she has multiple signatures, handwritten signatures, none of which match the deed, online deed that she signed for the illegal transfer of my mom's house that I'm sure she did not know was illegal, to the city administrator and city council members. I would like them to know that, right to knows that they had no involvement with. They had no involvement. However, other people did, and those right to knows have been spliced. And the best thing to do is to do some right to knows on matters that you are 100% sure that you have in your hand. Just send in another one and see what it comes back, because it's very enlightening how contact information's changed, signatures are changed. Like I said, they're spliced. They don't even match each other. Let's see what else. And as far as asking about, my favorite one is a fake account under the name of Peter Russo posted a docket on me saying about, and also posted a bench warrant on me. Well, through multiple other right-to-knows that were submitted and people delving, we found out there were four bench warrants issued on me, all of which had different signatures for the personitary's name. Different fonts were found within the letter, and the judge never signed it. We pursued to see if those warrants were real, and we were confirmed by the state police in Pennsylvania. There's no warrants on me. We confirmed through another county. They have no warrants on me. Our city police, I got the runaround there, which I don't blame them. So we're going to say that there's none there, and they have to show up everywhere, because if you travel in a different part of the state, you get pulled over, they're going to run your plate and see that you have a bench warrant. I was able to get my driver's license. Nobody stopped me. Let's see what else. And then as far as the docket was posted one evening, and Peter Russo said that he got it in a right to know. So, of course, I took the bait, and I immediately did a right to know. And on Valentine's Day, I sent that, and it was about 4:17 that the right to know clerk received it, should have received it, who was also the assistant district attorney. And lo and behold, I was able to have that docket by 7 o'clock that night on Valentine's. I received it. And when I asked for the other dockets pertaining to the lawsuits that the power of attorney and assistant district attorney filed against me, nobody can find those dockets. I was told that wasn't part of the right to know, that I couldn't have that. But I was able to get one out of three, which does not bear the state seal, and I was told was a DOS program, cut and splice from a DOS program.
Wow.
Nobody can tell me who had jurisdiction to issue the warrant. I can't get the transcripts. Multiple times I was told that I could come in and view the transcript. Then I was told I could come in and pick up the transcript. Then I was told it was too large to email me the transcript. Then I was told I could come in with a thumb drive and pick up the transcript. And now I'm being ignored altogether about the transcript. So we felt, too, that was another luring to try to get me to go in behind closed doors and say that I acted out so that that they could do what I was warned the district attorney wanted to do was put me in psych or prison to silence me and use state court orders and chemical restraints like he did for my mom the last 44 months of her life.
I wouldn't doubt that that would be a tactic that they would use. I'm surprised they didn't offer, because corrupt Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, if you pay them money, granted, we had to pay $1,600, a lot of money. You can, yeah, and that was like over 10 years ago, so inflation, who knows what it is now. But that's how we got the court documents. They were all mailed, and, you know, a big packet, but we had to pay. So I'm surprised that they didn't even offer to let you pay to have the packet,
right.
You know, the documents sent to you. They straight up don't want you getting those documents, you know, and
yes,
there's so many goodies in those documents. I wonder if there's someone that was, go ahead.
Sorry. assume that transcripts do exist because the assistant district attorney said he won in the lawsuit against me. And so does a power of attorney win in a lawsuit against me. The only thing I think people don't realize.
But you don't know it. Yes.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah. Oh, I think we have a delay when we're talking. But there's no lawsuit. But everyone says they won a lawsuit against you, and you've never heard of this lawsuit. Is that correct?
I got papers that were considered to be a hoax. That when I took them to the post office, they said they were never ran through the post office, that a third party, though they bought prepaid postage stickers, they were never ran through the post office, that the mail from the district attorney wasn't legal because it was personal mail, because it didn't have a return address, the envelopes weren't embossed, but ran through the postage meter. There were pictures of my mom inside my deceased mother, 8x10 pictures of her, black and white pictures with an Easter bunny, with Elvis. Let's see, what else? Oh, and my name was traced multiple times, looked like a child wrote the envelope. Let's see here.
It's a little bizarre.
They had the wrong address for the courthouse within it and spelled the district attorney's name wrong on multiple pages. And
now, I'll tell you why the address is wrong. I'll tell you why that was. So if for some reason the mail was returned, like returned to sender, it wouldn't have made it to the courthouse so that someone would have seen that some fraud was happening. So that's why that was done. It'd be interesting to investigate the address that it was sent from. Very sketchy.
It's actually a vacant property.
Well, that's interesting. So
very much so.
Yeah.
Which
uh-huh.
is how we got here anyway, is because when my mom's house was sold illegally, I was told by the commissioner I could send a letter and they would reverse the sale of the house because it was sold before I even got her death certificate, before we needed that, because I'd already cried wolf once because I was told my poor mom had passed away at the beginning of COVID 11 months before.
Mm-hmm.
Received an email from a state investigator that works down in Pittsburgh, and here it was so they could relocate my mom. And whenever I sent that letter, it was blocked from going to the judge, signed by a Jay Lover, who accepted the envelope within the courthouse, which they would have been better off just to say,
right.
You know, you cashed a surplus check, it's a done deal, and I would have accepted it. I was shocked when the commissioner told me they could reverse it. Apparently somebody didn't like that and was waiting for the letter. So now we don't know who Jay Lover is,
no.
other than the state representative announcing that it was our governor. So we're still waiting to check that out.
It just sounds like a kangaroo court going on there. Now, there's some crazy elected representatives that are working out of Newcastle, Pennsylvania. One is an Aaron Bernstein. Are you familiar with this guy? Like, people don't even want him running. And I know you sent me some of the articles. So, I mean, people can wiki this guy. This guy's crazy. And you feel he's harassing you. Tell us about that.
He definitely
and tell us some other crazy stuff you've done.
Yes, and he's not even from our district. He's a neighboring district and has a wonderful family and married into a wonderful family that went to our church. And he lured me in by saying he wanted to meet with me to discuss elder abuse. I didn't take him up on it till months later when I did not meet with him but sent in all the evidence that I had. And he said, oh, this is great. Governor Shapiro and I, well, he was Attorney General, I believe, at the time, and we're good friends. I'm going to send this to him. And I was so appreciative. And then a couple of weeks later, I sent more up. I sent that to Mr. Shapiro, too. And then all of a sudden, the tide turned. And I know he doesn't even like the governor. He's always going up against him. And then he started, then when my mom was missing, when they notified me that she, you know, was deceased when she hadn't even, when she was still alive, he was posting like links to psychiatrists for me and posting memes like she's cray cray and all this different stuff. And then these men's, you know, the lawsuits came, we ignored them thinking they were hoax. And then all of a sudden on June 10th, I was shocked whenever I saw a bench warrant was posted by the district attorney on a Saturday night when our town was rocked with a murder of a young boy and his two young friends were gunned down in what is believed to be an attempted mass murder at, a celebration after our local school's high school commencement. And I was the topic of their concerns, and the women still have not been arrested. These families are still waiting for justice. And then Aaron Bernstein, he jumped in and he repeatedly posted and saying, you're a fugitive, turn yourself in, there's no progress. If you're scared, like, why won't you go turn your, go ask the sheriff? If, and the best was October 6th. He posted and said that there was going to be a press conference about my mom and that President Biden and Josh Shapiro were going to be there and Jay Lover was going to be there, but he was going to be wearing a mask so that we didn't know his identity. And then a little bit later, and the sheriff was supposed to arrest me there. Then a little bit later, said, well, Air Force One took off because you didn't show up. They have people thinking that these bench warrants are for contempt of court for not showing up at a court hearing. However, I would really like Mr. Bernstein to come forward and tell the people what it's for, that I was to pay extortion fees, is what many attorneys called it, revealing the papers, where I was supposed to comply with an unconstitutional gag order a year ago and pay $3,500, and then I could avoid jail. If I didn't pay it, then the eve of the second anniversary of my mother's death, I had to turn myself in by 9 o'clock that morning to the Lawrence County Jail, to Sheriff Calero, and also pay $7,000. To which I was supposed to serve a 60-day prison sentence.
And now let me get this right. So he basically served you, quote, these documents on like a Facebook Messenger or on a Facebook. And when you did the Freedom of Information request, the right to knows, there's no warrants for your arrest. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Is that what's going on? And that's
right.
That's insane. So an elected official is serving you on social media, telling you that you need to show up to be arrested, and yet when you did your Freedom of Information Act paperwork, no such warrants are out there. I'm trying to make sure that the listeners really understand what you're trying to say. And do you have time for a caller? We have a caller here. They've been patiently waiting. I believe it's going to come out of Michigan. Yeah, we have area code 616. Let's see. Area code 616, you're live and on the air.
Hi.
Area code 616. Hi, who's this?
This is Brandy.
Oh, hi, Brandy.
Thanks
for calling in.
I was just calling to say awesome job creating transparency and thinking outside of the box. Not a lot of people are in the understanding of what is public information and what is not. And a lot of times these people are protecting themselves, and they're using their position as a color of law to intimidate and harass. And I think it's amazing what has been uncovered.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm shocked that these work in our favor. I had no idea what you can request and the lies that people can tell. You just don't keep up with what the – and it's fun to send them to multiple departments because you don't get the same answer from any of them.
Correct.
That's really interesting.
And what I also think is funny is a lot of times these people, like, say, for instance, in yours, it's the sheriff, and they're not the Freedom of Information Act coordinator. So most times they're not even communicating with these sheriffs to say, hey, I got this. They're just completing their job. So there is no hiccups, and it's the information you're given is sometimes alarming. And a lot of people don't know, but, like, any government agency, that means any sheriff's office, any, like, CPS, all these places, APS, post offices, libraries, the cities and counties, you can go and request their disciplinary action records. You can request for certain records, you can request for their payroll to see what who's getting paid what, and when, especially when requesting FOIAs. Here in Michigan, I know I'm not liked because I'm like the FOIA queen across the nation. Get a denial, you appeal it. And a lot of times people are like, oh, it was denied. I don't think I've ever had an appeal denied.
Wow. Brandy, would you mind telling everybody, I understand that in every state it's different on how you request these. Would you two mind just educating everybody, how are we going about getting these? Because they definitely sound like game changers, and we should filing these.
I wasn't aware of Diane's situation in totality just because, you know, we hear of each other's stories, and I was like, oh, I need to talk to you. So I showed her where to go on her jurisdiction's websites and where to go to request these things. But pretty much every sheriff's department, every police department out there has a website, and it's usually under transparency or online information, and you can find Freedom of Information Act request, and usually each department will have an assigned employee that is the custodian of their records. Sometimes it's the city clerk, sometimes they have an actual FOIA coordinator, and then you can request. Most states have to respond within 5 days, but like I've had a lot of jurisdictions that don't respond at all, and they think that you forgot. Like, I made my own in Diane's, and they didn't respond, but yet they responded to her. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I didn't feel the need to appeal it because she's being responded to. So it's just a matter of tackling it correctly and smart. And then once you get the FOIA request, if you're not responded to, I'll wait 10 days. And then I'll phone them because it's their job to check spam folders, everything. So it's not up to us, and we can't get blamed for them not receiving it. But if you're following up by phone and saying, hey, I sent this, it depends on the jurisdiction. Sometimes people will have a power trip, but then if they still deny it, you appeal it. And then I would CC it not only to the custodian that you're requesting it from, but to their supervisor and to the state attorney general. So sometimes when you're appealing these things, you have to go outside the box and go a little bit higher so that everybody's being checked and knowing, hey, this isn't just something you can sweep under the rug. I did one FOIA request in Texas, got zero reply, and then I forwarded my request and my appeal to the attorney general in Texas. still got no reply, but received everything in the mail. And it was egregious.
Oh.
What group homes are workers are drugging and sexually assaulting their vulnerable adults in Texas, and it's egregious. But they had to give it to me. The attorney general made them.
Wow. It's great. Yeah, this is amazing that you're getting the information. I know a lot of reporters will use the Freedom of Information Act, and they get all sorts of information. I have heard this, that the hardcore group of people who most often are requesting this is the UFO community. So we do have to thank the UFO community for really coming hard at our government to give them the information, whether we believe in UFOs or not. I do know there's something on the dark. I've heard this. I have a neighbor who's super into computers, and he's been on the show here before, and he tells me all this. But he said that the UFO community is what really, really, really opened the door for all of us come at hard at the government and not be ignored. And I think more of us need to be doing this, because I would think that these parasitoids would start to get nervous, because that's how we're going to expose them. I do understand that every email, if you are like a judge, all your emails are subjected to FOIA, so then you can request all these emails and
I don't know
everything.
If that is – I don't think that is accurate. I don't think judges and, like, teachers – I know schools – certain people are protected. I think lawyers and judges are protected just because of the client attorney privilege.
Isn't it confidentiality? I think what it is if your name is in the email, because I've heard that if you go to because you know we all get ignored by the FBI, but we've all filed complaints, that they won't tell who filed complaints unless you show up yourself wanting to know on yourself, have I filed a complaint? And then you can find out that, yes, you did file the complaint. So I wonder if that's what I have to do, because I've heard, go for the judge's emails about the cases. But I'm guessing that they probably will do a lot of, this is, you know, sensitive information. And
yeah. You might be able to get, like, I got one judge's communication from a public body after I was trespassed from my mom's nursing home. I think it was about 6 months later, hour away, but in the same county. An elderly couple was trespassed from their son in a nursing home, and he had overdosed and was in a vegetative state, so it's not like they were harming him or anything, and they had made reports about the care he was receiving. So, of course, the nursing home had to get him out and had them wrongfully trespassed. And so we pushed the envelope, went to the city meetings, and, like, I stood up for this family. And I requested by email, gave them proofs and stuff, so you can't deny that we have communicated the laws to you. And they actually emailed the judge, and after everything was done and I had gotten my FOIA request, I circled back around and asked them for all their communications regarding me and the situation. And they had to provide that to me, and I got the email from the judge to this body where he states there's a ton of law supporting it, but did not even list one.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it crazy? They just write their own laws, make up their own rules, and do what they want.
He just said there's a bunch of laws supporting this. It's, you know, but he didn't state one. So then I emailed that public body all back and said, this doesn't concern you, that's his remark. He didn't say MCL code dot dash 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 to define. And so he's subjecting all of you to lawsuits.
What'd they say then? Wow.
I got no reply.
Wow. Wow. Well, we are so excited to hear that this is a tool that we can still use and you both have used it mightily. I need to file a few of these.
Is that correct? And now Diane needs to circle back and get like disciplinary action reports on the top key players that she's, you know, found out information on. Get their salary, start putting the heat on them, because this needs to be brought to the public. And then once she gets that information, she needs to start going to the commissioner meetings. Every commissioner's office in every city, the board meetings, they are the bosses of the police department and the public bodies within the government. So when you're suing a county or a state, if you have addressed them, they have to investigate it. So if we start bringing this to the correct channels, the correct way, we're going to be heard.
That's
wow.
Great.
Well, this is such great information. Go ahead, Diane.
Oh, I'm sorry. The one thing, too, that I am relieved about, and I do want to make clear to everybody in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, is I have been praying that the sheriff is not involved in through the FOIA. I don't see where he was aware, and I have also obtained confirmation that there were no service requests for the sheriff's services to be at my home. I specified different officers that I knew were on my porch, deputies. There was no authorization, and like I said, there's nothing with his actual signature. It's all rubber stamps, which there's three different ones that I don't think he has any clue because they don't match his signature. And I'm so relieved because he comes from a wonderful family and they're great people. So that I do want to make clear. And I keep hoping that every FOIA request does not incriminate him. And two, as far as like those extortion papers, I was told by an attorney, don't you dare pay that $3,500 because they're going to make you do this every month. Every month they're going to do it till they break you. I said, well, that's not going to take long because they already took my mom's home and an orchestrated tax sale. And now we have confirmation that they tampering with my mail and are trying to orchestrate the foreclosure of my home, which the bank screwed up and sent, again, falsified reports that the sheriff falsified whenever you look at it. But again, it was a rubber stamp. So we have to find out who's using a stamp falsifying information to the bank who refuses to let me pay on my house. Where do you ever get any supplied funds?
Mm-hmm. Most likely it's a clerk and being given information, trusting that this person is acting in their official capacity, so they're trusting them. And that's why a lot of people, like these officers that have showed up to your house, they're just following orders and acting in their official capacity as they have been given something that they think is lawful. So that's where you don't see officers correcting each other. You don't see them calling out or questioning anything. And that's where we have to change things. You can't just blindly trust your bosses or coworkers, and that's scary.
Yeah.
When you've got people in position of authority abusing that authority to harm humanity.
Right, and creating a hostile work environment where these poor souls do have to take the orders, because otherwise they lose their income and God knows what they do to intimidate them or make threats against their family. It's terrible. Should we announce now why these lawsuits are not lawsuits?
Yeah. Let's hear it. Please announce it.
Yes.
Live.
Oh, dear. So the power of attorney is suing me for $800,000, according to the lawsuits. Oh, and back up to the extortion fees were to be paid to her attorney's son. He was going to be the one to accept the payments. However, these lawsuits were she's suing me for $800,000. The assistant district attorney, he's in a separate lawsuit for $250,000. And the district attorney made himself my sister's co-plaintiff. So he was suing me for $100,000, she's suing me for $800,000 in this $900,000 joint lawsuit when they have taken everything from me and have prevented me from going to work with agoraphobia, cancer that was misdiagnosed, blamed on stress. come to find out, there is no lawsuit because you cannot have a district attorney as a plaintiff, nor can an assistant district attorney be a plaintiff in their own county, heard by their own judge who works within the same building as them. So this was all bogus. So I don't know where the power of attorney thinks that she won. And I also don't understand the assistant district attorney posted a letter saying she too won. And again, thanks to the FOIAs, no judgments were filed against me. And
I want to draw a couple words
hearing
here.
Was never held.
You know what this is called? Fraudulent concealment and continual wrong. Like they're continuing this wrong. So they're just racking up more. And it's kind of comical now that they're going to such extremes, knowing and willfully and intentionally doing this. So there's no mistaking it, is they didn't know.
Oh, yep. And funny is they keep going back and forth on Facebook and putting all this stuff up where I'm probably supposed to be in a corner rocking and crying and scared to death. And we're just laughing hysterically because we've known this for months. So, yeah, so we figured we would pick tonight because my mom's anniversary of her death is Monday, and I think she would be very happy if she could finally rest. Instead of me keep saying, come on, Mom, do this, do that. And somebody will publicly announce.
I know she's very proud.
Your mom, too. But my goal is hopefully that someone will announce these warrants are not fake, and I am allowed to drive, and I'm allowed to grocery shop, and I'm allowed to live my life instead of, because I was told by an attorney, several attorneys, though those extortion fees are not legal, the warrants are not legal, nobody is going to search through the papers. They're just going to take them at face value. They see me, within North County, pull me over, break my taillight, say I was combative, take me in and say, oh, she had to go to psych. That's the end of Diane. She always was crazy. And I did look like I was crazy on Facebook because I had not one person willing to help me to go up against my sister or the DA. And
have
it
you
was
gotten
just like
dash
I was
cam?
Screaming.
Have you gotten dash cam of them breaking your taillight? They might say their body cam wasn't on, but they have dash cam.
Well, thank God it never happened. And I was told not to drive anywhere because they're probably going to be watching for me. And we think, too, that the mail, when they stopped it, that I was supposed to go in to pick it up or file a complaint, and then they were probably going to schedule a time for me to do so and also call the DA and say she's on her way in, catch her coming down the road. And the bank, too, they kept wanting to do an appraisal of my house. For what? I want to pay my house off. And they wouldn't need, no, we need an appraisal. So they wanted to get in there. For what? I don't know.
They wanted to get inside your house?
Yep.
Wow. That's to pretty much probably document the belongings inside, not the house itself. That's sick.
Yeah, I think they wanted to report back to the DA. So we think we got a case of civil racketeering here involving the financial institution because...
I have a question
I'm
for
sorry.
Brandy, because Brandy, you are like so amazing and so much wisdom. I am so excited that you called in. So nobody gets bullied more than Diane. I mean, I've been doing these shows for 5 years and they attack her like nobody
mm-hmm.
else. Why is that? She's got something.
Because she's
I don't
got
know
the
what
proof.
Is,
it. Why? And that's like me. I get attacked as well. Certain people, when you have enough proof, like there's transparency there, they're going to do everything in their power to discredit you. Everything in their power. So they're going to come after you. They're going to scare you. They're going to use tactics that are unheard of. Like for me, guess where the social worker of the nursing home that works at my mom's nursing home lives?
Oh, my gosh.
Right,
I think I've heard this.
Right
across
the street
from you.
From me. So Yep. So it, like, they have created it, so I don't even want to leave my home. And yeah, that's sad, but at the same time, it's I am more empowered now. And then they still try their tactics, like now they're, instead of me posting pictures of my mom, now they're stating I tried to run them over and their children. And yet you're a mandated reporter, and you know that I work for a school. Like, and, you know, not to mention the police department is a crossing guard. So it's like their tactics are only deliberate and intentional and harmful in court or where it's, you know, needed to protect them. But they're not documenting things correctly. They're not, you know, and it's weird. And it's harmful. It's not weird. It's just weird to hard to understand in a weird sense. I don't mean it is. It's weird that it's happening. It is happening, but it's harmful in the aspect that these people, these professionals, are being taken. Like their word is gold. So if they say you're this way, oh my gosh, it's true. There's like no investigations being done, and even if they are, they're biased.
Yeah, it's some scary stuff because, you know, like we're all strong women and we're taking it, but there are people out there, they're not strong enough. And what has happened to these people? Because then there's no one there to be their voice. And that's a scary thought.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just say I applaud everyone here that's, you know, part of this audience and everyone that we are speaking out against it, because there's those that they're just too afraid to speak out, and we're part their voice too.
Right.
And it's just amazing.
Yeah. And so when I hear stories, every podcast I get on, I hear stories like, and I'll be able to debunk pretty much any case or figure out a way to get into where to gain some kind of control back. And it's not necessarily a win, but it's enough control to give you confidence to keep fighting. You know, so a lot of people get discouraged and they give up, or, you know, or they're placed in jail and unwound, you know, they don't have a village behind them before they go, you know, and these things happen. And like my intuitions have been spot on. So like when the nursing home was trying to harm me, if my mom had not told me that the police were in her room talking about me, I wouldn't have known to do a FOIA request. But I did a FOIA request immediately with the police department that has jurisdiction over the nursing home with my name. That's how I found out that the police were even called on me. So that's when I knew that they weren't doing things correctly. So I challenged them, and I continued to walk in there every day. And then they could, you know, like you people cannot, I've done nothing wrong. You can't tell me what I've done wrong, so I'm going to go visit my mother. Like, and I'm not here to cause problems. I just continued on my way, and they did not like that. But I knew to record. Like, I knew something wasn't right. Like, what is going on here? And then I didn't know until I've been putting everything together, and this is after my mom passed away. But now I know exactly why they had to get me out of there. They had federal charges again. Do you know how many people can say that they've had federal charges come against a nursing home?
And yet
the investigators didn't contact. They contact you when they're making initial contact, say, hey, we're going in, but they don't call me. They don't ask for any more evidence or anything that's happened since that I may have concerns with to add to the case or to see if the concerns have been answered. They don't follow up with anybody. Then you'll get the report, and then it doesn't necessarily, they'll say it's been referred to Medicare and Medicaid, whatever, oversight. So then it goes to federal. So that's where it's confusing to me to try to understand the Code of Federal Regulations, CFR 483.10, Section F, Section 4, and then Section double I. That states nobody, no friend, no family member can be denied contact with their loved ones in any jurisdiction that's getting any kind of Medicaid or Medicare funding. But yet, it doesn't, so does that apply to all states? Of course, because then if it goes state level to federal level and they've broken that law, why aren't more and more being defended? So every state, every investigator is breaking this law.
Hey, girls, I got a question here on the thread.
Okay.
My sister, the power of attorney, said, how and why did you ever involve Josh in the first place? Josh is the district attorney. He got involved after September of 2017, and a state investigation was opened. It was open long enough to find out that my mom was fitted with an ankle alarm and chemical restraints that no doctor authorized, and proof that her medical records were not requested by the facility. Josh got involved because Governor Shapiro, who was Attorney General at the time, his office called me and said that they were making arrangements, and I was to meet with Josh Liamacusa, the district attorney, to file papers for him to recuse himself and turn over all evidence of elder abuse. I said, I'm not going to do that because it is his father's law firm that initiated the elder abuse, and you're just setting me up. No, no, no. Nope, that's what you have to do, and they're going to investigate this, and they're going to shut that place down, blah, blah, blah. So I went up there, and I had a 3 o'clock meeting.
Discovery.
And I went to a meeting at 3 and never left till 4:45. And when I sat down, he shut the door and started laughing and said, so you really believe that you were coming here for me to recuse myself? That's my buddy Tony that you're talking about. And then proceeded to tell me who was in charge. And I said, you know, I just want to see my mom. I just want the deed. He's like, and I said, and you got played. I said, my sister was not well and said that she had Munchausen syndrome and thought she was doing what was best for my mom. He turned colors and practically came across the desk and said, you lied and you don't have to. You make up stuff. There's no such thing as Munchausen by proxy. I knew then that he got played without knowing it, and that is why I was told by the facility that they thought my mom was going to die sooner. They believed that she was sick. She was never diagnosed with anything except sleep apnea and sleep deprivation, which had her behavior questionable that we were getting under control, that I don't even think my sister realized, because she stormed out of the office, the doctor's office, when they told her that she could not put mom in a facility. My mom was not sick, and they wanted a temporary restraining order on my sister, temporary, because she was going through a crisis that she needed to. There were health issues within her family, and it was very sad. And Josh Liamacusa was banking on me hating my sister. I never did, because I grew up with the best sister. And my sister's denying her health history, which I feel Josh is making her do, thinking because I revealed it, she's going to get another lawsuit that she's going to win, which I don't understand how she won the first one when the lawsuit doesn't exist. So there's a whole bunch of people being played, and I really wish people would listen to what I'm saying, because I'm not crazy, and I'm trying to keep other people from getting hurt, including courthouse employees who I know are being played and being intimidated.
Scary to me, too, that you had a lawyer, all these lawyers, district attorneys, all these people are involved who have the ability to look at more public information than the normal person. And if they're not even getting public information to make sure and correct things, like, what are we paying these lawyers for? We're not, when we're paying thousands of dollars for representation or to represent ourselves or depriving ourselves of work and sleep out of fear and retaliation. Why aren't they doing all of this and their due diligence? Why aren't we ever provided, hey, this is public information. This is what
right.
is the reality. The lawyers aren't even giving us that.
Well,
it's not being brought up.
I was told of a rumor that there are about 50 attorneys that are on retainer for the district attorney. And whenever I went to somebody, they either called before I got there, I know, and spoke to him because they were quoting stuff that he wouldn't know. or whenever I left, they would. And some of them, the one practically threw my papers behind me and said, get out of here and don't ever tell anybody you step foot in this office. I'm not going up against him because he'll retaliate against my client.
Wow. I remember real quick, and we only have like 10 minutes left, and I do see a few more callers, but real quick, I remember a story you told me, and I've never forgotten it. It was that late at night, they basically play cards with deeds and wards and just passing them around. Wasn't that you, Diane, that told me that story?
Yes, I was told by somebody within the in the group. They use this isn't even about money, I don't think, for them. I think it's actually like some kind of score system where they use deeds for houses, titles for cars, boats, guns. And it's just a game. And it's always women, it seems like, that, you know. And then, you know, and then they break us. So, like, him trying to foreclose on my house is so that, you know, I can't remortgage it to pay an attorney to help me. And I'm concerned about my sister thinking that she won a lawsuit. Is he going to go after her stuff because he's going to say she's crazy at some point? So everybody thinks this is about money. This is not about money. This is about my mom, who is a healthy woman who socialized, had friends, was the belle of the ball, the life of the party. And they're forgetting about this. Everybody thinks it's about money and me getting attention and just trying to defame people. But my mom lost her life all because she got two lousy inheritances that she didn't want her brother and brother and my father. And she would have rather had the two of them than any of that money. And my dad said there better not be any fighting over the money. And there never was.
Wow.
It was never about the money for me or my sister. And I still want to believe that she was doing the right thing, moving my sister or moving our mother in there.
Well, I just hope that someday that relationship can be healed, because that's what these parasitoids do, is they divide and conquer. They know what they're doing, and they go in there, and they break up families. And so you and your sister have been victimized. I hope that she realizes it. It's just such a tragedy. They just go in and they rip families apart. It's what they do. And you're right. It's not about the money. They get money, but they're just sick and they enjoy this. We have another caller, and I believe this is Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Just so reader listeners know, that's where I got to enjoy the guardianship process. So let's see. We have area code 610. Let's see who this is. Area code 610. You're live and on the air. Who is this?
Is that me, Kaz? It's Elaine.
Oh, hey, Elaine. How are you?
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Diane as well. So I just was going to comment, like, on these right-to-knows. When I did right-to-knows several years back to Montgomery County, they just gave me the runaround saying they don't have the information. Then they said go to the solicitor, presented it to the solicitor, said, no, take it to the judges. Then the judges said, no, it's not the place. So finally, I submitted a right to know at the state level where the auditor
Attorney
is.
General. Yeah, girl.
And then it was the auditors, not the attorneys. And when they sent me a letter back, and they wrote in capital letters, this information is at your local office. So they were giving me the runaround. It had to do with computer tampering. So they weren't going to give me a right to know that incriminated themselves. When you're asking for a right to know that incriminates people, like it was a federal computer that they tampered with, and they wouldn't give me my own records. And so I ended up getting the records like after the whole matter was over at some other point. I was there in person. So, you know, these right-to-knows, sometimes they give you the runaround. There is a guy who is in Bucks County in Pennsylvania. This guy was the king of right-to-knows. I mean, he was doing them all the time. He's very well-known. But the other comment I wanted to make is these people are so the corruption level so bad, they will go to any extent. They have been withholding medical care from me, like from my health insurance, because one of the commissioners in Montgomery County is now the secretary of Department of Health and Human Services. And so they can control, you know, deny you health benefits that you get from your insurance.
They're a part of FOIA too.
Yeah.
This is the level it goes to. They will attack you, try to deprive you of anything to survive.
They definitely want to shut us down, and they bully us left and right. And Diane is probably one of the most bullied guests that we have had on this podcast. Marty would be horrified to know how much that you have been bullied, Diane. But we only have a few minutes left. And Diane, I want to have you just kind of like last minute comment that you'd like to share with us. And then we're going to close out. And we definitely always love having you on. So you'll be back again.
Oh, I appreciate this so much, because it has made such a difference, because sharing this information and being able to post it, there are more people that are starting to believe me. Of course, they're strangers, not those that, oh, dear. But, yes, this is about my mom. And yes, I say about the house, and I was told that it was, thank God, like, I didn't sign over the house whenever they were trying to, like, lowball me and intimidate me and sending fake code enforcement so that I, you know, wouldn't think I couldn't afford it. And they said by me not giving up the house is the only way that I could eventually down the road get action against the district attorney and those who did this to my mom and the state representative. And now with them posting these fake warrants that more people are looking into, thanks to the FOIAs, that they're like, you know, why are you requesting these from us, from, you know, all these different areas, that they will be held accountable, because how many other people did they silence? Because whenever they sent those extortion papers, I was just supposed to delete my Facebook and be done and never say another word, and I think I would have gotten off the hook. But when you take everything away from a person and my house, the foreclosure, the cancer and everything else, it was actually my blessing, because it was like, you know what, I'm not going to go up and see my dad and have him say, you know, why did you let this happen? And I want my mom's death not to be in vain, to prevent other people and to quit railroading and putting innocent people in jail, innocent people in psych wards and elder facilities, and children being taken off at CYS, because there is so much money being paid to house these people that I'm sure is divvied up behind the scenes. And my mom never should have been one of them. And I just want to believe that she had a purpose, and that hopefully we can save other people. And I pray that the district attorney, assistant to families, all sit down this weekend and think what is best for everybody, including them. Because are these like cognitive orders, narcissist, arrogance, what is this? But you're destroying an entire community with wonderful people on city council and city administrator and commissioners. Nobody deserves this. And there's really good people in the courthouse and with the sheriff's department. Nobody deserves this intimidation. Nobody deserves to live like this.
No.
And I shouldn't have had to hide for a year, scared to death to leave my house. And the harassment and the intimidation and the ridicule and being called crazy. And my sister's friends who are part of the DA circle. So she's surrounded by some real doozies. She got to listen. People got to say, you know, what's Diane losing and gaining by this? And what's Denise going to lose
That's
in the long
for
run
sure.
if he turns the tables on her and has her thinking those lawsuits are real?
I think you summed it up, and we're about to run out of time. I think you summed it up best. This is about your community, and I just want everyone to know that when you are out there and you're fighting, and even after your loved one has passed away, you are still making a difference for others. And it was said to me one time, someday someone who doesn't even know your name will live because you kept fighting. And so, Brandy, Diane, Elaine, thank you so much for calling in, and definitely exposing all these parasitoids and talking about some solutions, which is so amazing. But real quick, we want to thank our sponsors that help keep these shows going. We have Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, the Australian Association of Stop Guardianship and Administrative Abuse, the National Association of Stop Guardianship Abuse, and Go Follow Shenanigans in the Montgomery County Facebook page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We had a great audience. Diane, you are always so amazing. And thank you, Brandy and Elaine, for calling in. And everyone, have a wonderful night. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.